Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's up? We got a good show for you today. Tinky and Tierney, and we are ready to roll. Coming from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. On this Monday around the country here, middle of July, CBS Sports Radio, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Network. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney. Tink, biggest story of the day, quite frankly, it's really going to go down as one of the bigger stories in modern sporting history. After 87 years and after much force and much resistance from Daniel Snyder, got a name change, got a logo change, knew it was coming. Once you start losing money, people crack. Daniel Snyder has cracked.
Yeah, look, we know what this is all about. He couldn't sustain it without the sponsors, FedEx, and you know, apparently over 600 billion other investors looking for changes in what the Washington Redskins were espousing. And so we'll give him a little bit of credit, but we're not giving him, like, he didn't have this epiphany. He wanted to change it because his nickname of his franchise has become a pejorative to Native Americans. It's been a long time coming, BT, and yeah. I'm glad it's finally happening. And the ultimate question now is who do they become? What are they? Right? What is the new nickname? What does the new logo look like? Now, they've pledged that it won't be any Native American imagery or anything of that nature, because we know how Native Americans feel about not just the Washington's nickname, but also all of the other ones across sports. They don't want to be mascots. They don't want to be honored, if you want to use that word, in this way. And so what they change it to is almost as interesting as the process of getting it done. Now, here's the thing. They're talking about Warriors, right? The Warriors are the one that seems to be the leader in the clubhouse, so to speak, because of the trademarks that have been applied for by Daniel Snyder in the past and apparently applied for now. But I honestly feel that that's not separate enough. Yes, it's distance from what they were, but it's not that distant from what they were. And I don't know if everybody's going to be happy enough with that one.
Yeah, I don't even love the way it sounds. Too collegiate to me. I'm not really digging the Washington Warriors either. And I don't disagree. I think you need to get maybe a little more separation. So we'll have to revisit this again. Certainly Warriors is, I mean, if that's the case, then Golden State Warriors. I mean, there's a lot of things you have to change here. Although the Warriors did change their logo to the Bay Bridge back in the 60s, back in the day. Here's names, unless there's some sort of settlement. This gentleman by the name of Martin McCauley is suddenly pretty involved in the equation here. He has been trademark squatting for quite some time, and he has trademarked the following. You ready? The Americans, the Bravehearts, the Federals, the Forces.
Bravehearts.
I know. The Federals, the Forces, the Founders, the Gladiators, the Monuments. To me, Washington Monuments is actually really cool. Natives, Pandas, Pigskins, Red-Tailed Hawks, Renegades, Sharks, Veterans, Tribe, Red-Tails, Monument Veterans, Renegades, Red-Tailed Hawks, Americans, and Red Wolves. Now, there was a little bit of confusion earlier today because when this was uncovered, I don't know who uncovered it, but I saw it on Twitter this morning where you saw all these names and you got, wow, you know, Martin McCauley just trying to make life miserable for Daniel Snyder.
Yeah.
If and when he ever relents, you know, there's a dearth of options here. But he actually said, quote, he said, "I started out because I thought it would be funny to register Washington Pigskins. Then this unusual hobby of mine got out of control." All right. He said this last night. "I'm a fan of watching the team, and I went to a game this year. It's not meant to be adversarial." And then he also said, "Hey, I would like to be able to, you know, I'm not going to stay in their way. This is not an adversarial trademark type of blockade." So maybe if they do want one of those names, they can actually get their hands on it and secure it. But I got to disagree a little bit with you here. And I know you were just transitioning to a greater point, and the greater point for sure is that the name is gone, and it's time, all right? I don't give him an ounce of credit, though. You said you'd give him a little credit. I give Daniel Snyder no credit. You know why I give him no credit?
Why?
All you have to do is just go to Google and type in Daniel Snyder Redskins resistance or resistance to name change, whatever set of words you want to use. And you know what the first thing that pops up?
What's that?
An article from 2013 where conducted by the USA Today, and I'm looking at it right now, where he says, and he actually says in quotes, in caps, he says the franchise would never change its team name. All right. Never. And then he said, you can use caps, end quote. So it was an arrogance, a belligerence, you know, an indifference, if you will. I don't think that he was trying to be outwardly racist. I'm certainly going to defend him there. But listen, when Walmart starts taking down your jerseys and when you're expunged from Nike's website, we know about FedEx and all the other companies that Tiki referenced, over $600 million. That is the impetus. That is the only motivation behind this. This wasn't an epiphany. This wasn't an awakening. And anybody who puts it and positions it that way, quite frankly, is wrong. It's all about money, and that's it.
Yeah,
and I can't fully respect that.
Of course it's all about money, but it's...
how do we praise him?
Well, how come nobody... Well, then how come we're not faulting FedEx for not getting this done sooner? How come we're not faulting Nikes and the others in this space who were also blind to the nature of this Washington name? How come we're not faulting them? They had the power to do this all along.
Fair.
They could have pushed, you know, 8 years ago or 10 years ago, whenever, and they never did. We're in this what do they use the word now for these young kids? This woke society now?
Well,
like,
yeah.
we're aware of what's going on and how we make people feel with the words we use. And so, yeah, I don't give them too much credit.
I'll give them.
But I also have to look at everybody else that dealt with and sold merchandise of Washington for all of these years. Hell, I was a fan, BT. You know this. Mm-hmm. I grew up a fan. I loved the Art Monks of the World and the John Riggins and Doug Williams, and even Timmy Smith and his Super Bowl highlight reel, 200 plus yards, and that destruction of Denver in the second quarter. You know, so of course I grew up a fan of the team, and I'm as guilty as everyone because I didn't see a need necessarily. I didn't think it was viewed the way that it ultimately was viewed. And Daniel Snyder, you know, what he was using as his ammunition to not change his name was the fact that he had done some, or somebody, I don't even know if it was him, had done some convoluted survey, and 90% of Native Americans said, yeah, we don't see a problem with it. But who did they serve you, like 50 people? You know what I mean? And so it ultimately created more backlash than actually providing Daniel Snyder proof that that the nickname of his franchise was okay. And now it's finally come to a head, and I'm glad that it's come to a head. And I think most people are. It's a pejorative. It's a negative connotation for Native Americans in this country, and they're ready to be done with it. And Daniel Snyder is also, even if it took some money to push him that way, is also ready to be done with it.
Yeah, no, but those are no doubt. Like, the lead story is that it's changing. Absolutely,
yep.
I get it, and I think it's cool. I think it's time, you know. And quite frankly, I don't want to sound disingenuous or, you know, really out of touch with maybe former positions I used to take.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I ever explored it inwardly with the depth and with the passion that I needed to, because quite frankly, I never viewed it as incredibly offensive, because I had read enough and heard from enough Native Americans who positioned it as somewhat honorable. So,
yeah.
But there's always two sides of the equation, clearly. And, you know, we had a great guest on last week. It was, I'm forgetting the woman's name right now, matter of fact, but it was very poignant. And, you know, I've just kind of opened my heart and opened my eyes a little bit with a few things the last couple of years. And this was one of them. I never had a problem, really, even up until a couple of months ago, saying the name Redskins. And it's going to take a while to, you know, for me to delete that from my mind. I mean, I'm in my 40s. I've been saying it my whole life.
Yep.
Same with you.
Same me.
It's going to take a little time here.
But Darryl, I've somehow found a way not to say it over the last week or so.
Yeah.
I really have.
And
it's not easy, because I grew up
not
a fan.
That
was my team. You know, they were the closest one. The Panthers didn't exist yet. It was Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But I found a way. You just got to put it in your mind, or put it out of of your mind. And hopefully when they have a new name and a new nickname and mascot and imagery and all that other stuff, it gets replaced really quickly in people's minds. And I think it will, because this isn't like a out of nowhere change. It's not like, oh, the Washington changed their nickname. I wonder why that is. And I want to stick with the old one. We know why it's changing, and it's public, and it's very there was a lot of pressure put on Daniel Snyder by not only FedEx and those monetary and sponsors that we were talking about, but congressmen and politicians and Native Americans and just regular Americans saying it's enough is enough.
Yeah, and the woman's name, by the way, was Crystal Echo Hawk.
Yes, Illuminative was her organization. Yep, Illuminative.
Yep. Found their president. Yep. Great stuff. Radio.com, Apple iTunes. That's what we focused on. It was within the last week or so, and it was all, a good 10-minute chat just about that. Talked about Snyder, obviously, the movement here. No, but just for the record, I want to get this straight. And again, the main story is that we're going to have a different name.
Yep.
But, I'm a big believer in motivation. So Daniel Snyder wants a new stadium, all right? And D.C. has said, well, you're not coming here unless you change your name. that's one pretty strong degree of motivation. And, and I don't want to say secondarily, but just as potent, just as poignant has been, the FedExes and the Nikes and the Walmarts and this disassociation. So I ask you this. We all know the answer. I mean, if FedEx didn't pull this position, roughly a week or so ago, are we starting the show with the change name for the team in Washington?
I don't think so. No.
But that's why I can't give him I give him no credit. Really. Yeah. I almost don't, and I'm not going to belabor this, I promise. But, if that doesn't happen on the part of FedEx, he is not forced to. It's not like he... he was having a glass of wine and he's sitting on his deck and he's like, man, I'm holding on to something that's antiquated, that just is no longer acceptable. I've got to look in the mirror. I've got to wake up. I've got to really dig down deep inwardly. I'm getting with my board of directors and that's it. And we're going to be the Washington something, but we'll no longer be the Washington, the Redskins. I'll just say it for there. We'll no longer be that team anymore. It's not what happened.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
But here's the question I'll ask you, because this is real time. This is how you respond in real time. In 2 years or 5 years and they're the Washington, monuments, because I actually really do like that.
I love
that's
that
kind of cool. But
it's a cool one. Problem is we can't agree which monuments stay and which ones go. So that'll be divisive.
That's a good point.
Anything that you pick, or just the
Washington Monument.
Washington Monument.
Because exactly which one I'm talking about. And put an S on them. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what it's ultimately going to be? But my point is, we can get back to that in a second, but my point is, BT, when it's changed and we go 3, 4, 5 years with it being changed, are you going to remember that Daniel Snyder didn't do it for, ethereal reasons? You know what I mean?
The answer is probably not.
I'm
going to disagree a little bit. With everything documented verbally, video form, catalog.
But will it be a part of the upfront narrative 5 years from now?
For the team, maybe not. Long when Daniel Snyder is no longer with us, and hopefully it's a long, long time from now. To me, that will be in the first paragraph. I believe that in his bio, in his life work, I believe that there will be a negative intonation and certainly direct reference to his resistance and reticence to change the name. And how we held on to this level of adamance for a long, long time. I do not believe people will forget that. Now, I'm not saying that you should hang him by his thumbs and burn his house down by any means. Of course not. But I do not think that the record will reflect favorably, because I don't think people are dumb. I don't think people are stupid.
No, I think you're right. And I think more importantly, BT, he never explained it legitimately enough.
Nope.
Why
it was arrogant.
Exactly.
Capital letters.
He basically could have just said, because I don't have to, right? Your kid's yelling at you, or your kid's getting mad and you're yelling at him. Why do I have to do this? Why? Because I said so.
That's a good answer.
That's basically what he said. Because I said so.
That's true.
Go to bed. Why do I have to? Because I said so.
I got a question for you as a dad with some older kids. At what point does "because daddy said so" expire?
Pretty quickly nowadays.
don't say that.
Like 8.
Get out of here. Not this house. It's not going to expire at 8.
All right. You'll see.
No chance will it expire. Now, it might not have the potency it packed when they're 3 and 4. I'm not saying that. But 8? No. Daddy's got to hang on. Grandfathered in for a long time, I hope.
You shall see.
I hear you. So what do you think about the movement, the thawing from Daniel Snyder? What do you think? 1-855-212-4227. And what do you think would be a cool name? And I do think it's interesting. Like, how will Daniel Snyder eventually be remembered? Because yes, he owns the team. This is literally true. He is the owner of the team during a transformative moment of acknowledgement and the name will change under his ownership. So he's got to get credit there. But again, the way he held on to that and his reluctance to do it, I believe that will outweigh the positive, at least in the court of public opinion.
Maybe.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Tiki feels a little differently. I could be wrong. 855-212-4227. A great former Washington player. There you go. Getting used to it there. Daryl Green's going to join us. Daryl was, if I remember, Daryl was last with us at the NFL draft in Nashville.
That's right.
On site, in person.
That's right.
So he'll be with us today to talk about the name change. I got Bobby V, a little baseball, former baseball skipper. Aroldis Chapman has tested positive for COVID-19. Russell Westbrook has tested positive for COVID-19. A big basketball injury that could affect the pecking order of power in the bubble in Orlando. We've got a lot to get to. And, of course, a little more on DeSean Jackson as well. So what do you think of Snyder? What do you think about the decision? 1-855-212-4CBS. Tiki and Tierney, hope you had a great weekend. Back with some reactions, some calls on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Network. Okay, what's happening on this Monday around the country, Tiki and Tierney? And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Do you know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Yeah, Santa just wrote this in our Slack forum. You know, I saw this morning. My wife actually told me around 9:30. I didn't even know that Kelly Preston was sick. Sad. She was, first of all, she passed away from breast cancer, for those that missed it. She was one of my all-time favorites. I was a huge, and forever will be a huge, huge Kelly Preston fan. Just a beautiful woman and a really good actress. But I didn't even know she was sick. I kept that under wraps pretty effectively. So sad. So young. Not even 60 years old. Teams.
Yeah. No, I know. I remember her the diagnosis of breast cancer a while ago. But, yeah, you hope that people can fight that. My mom, as you know, is a 24-year survivor of breast cancer. So a lot of people beat it. Some people don't. And it's really sad. Thoughts and condolences go out to the Travolta family and obviously all those that are mourning her right now.
Yeah, and they lost a son a couple of years back too. They've had some tragedies, so we you know, say that you wish them well. What does that really do right now? Yeah. Probably nothing, but you say it because you mean it, and maybe hopefully somehow it permeates their spirit and it helps them out a little bit. But good words on that for the whole family, Teak. All right, Bobby V, hour two, a little baseball. Hour three, Daryl Green on the Washington name.
You'll get used to it.
And by the way, whatever. I'm not sweating. If I say it, it's an accident. Big deal. I'm not going to hold myself. Whatever. I
mean, yeah, exactly.
I've been calling them the Redskins for 40 years. We'll eventually, expunge it from our mouths like Walmart and Nike expunged it from their shelves and from their digital shelves. What do you think about the time limit on the franchise tag? We focus so much on Dak.
Mm-hmm.
There's another Hall of Famer, actually, who's deeper into his career that is kind of staring at the same circumstances. We'll debate that in inbounds, out of bounds coming up next here. But what is your opinion of what the Eagles or how the Eagles thus far have handled DeSean Jackson? I've got mine, but as the former player, I want to give you the first crack. For those who missed it, they will find him. They will not cut him. What do you think about that?
Well, team? I mean, I think Jeffrey Lurie is a great owner. In fact, I have a lot of respect for him. Just going back to my playing days, he's obviously Jewish. But I think what they realized is that DeSean Jackson had no idea what he was talking about. He wasn't, it wasn't like there was hate involved in what he was thinking. I honestly believe it was ignorance. And I said this at the time, and I know subsequently that it is because of who's representing him PR-wise and the things that he's looking to do now, including entertaining invitations from David Adelman, who is the chairman of the Philadelphia Holocaust Memorial. Obviously, Julian Edelman invited him to go to the Washington, D.C. Holocaust Memorial, and I believe he accepted one to go internationally to go see, to learn more about this. And so he's genuinely looking to educate himself. And I think to me, the more I look at it and the more I learned about, you know, what went into his comments is, I'm more disappointed that he didn't understand why what he said was wrong. That's what frustrates me a little bit, because I mean nobody likes school. Nobody likes learning, sitting in, you know, whatever it is, eighth grade or ninth grade, or learning world history. It
depends on the subject.
True. Yeah, I mean, I love physics and I love math and I love that, but I hated English and I hated like history. Yeah. I've subsequently learned a lot about history. Once I started to enjoy reading, mm-hmm. like history books, and yeah. so my knowledge is different. But for he's not a young man. It's not like he's 22 and made a dumb mistake.
Yep.
He's well over 30 and should have had enough life experiences to know why this was egregiously wrong.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was oblivious to that.
Yeah.
It's discouraging, man.
I don't know how anybody could be that dumb.
That's what I didn't want to say that, but basically BT, that's it.
But that's right? why I don't but, give him but, quite the
but,
pass.
But it's also, you know, why,
how can
you,
I?
You know why I'm not surprised? Because there are people in this country who have the exact lack of understanding of black causes that DeSean Jackson had of Jewish causes. Now, the reason there's not as much uproar is because the population of Jewish Americans is small. Really, the world population of those that identify as Jewish, because it's not just a religion. In fact, I told you this story, BT, when I was over there visiting with Shimon Peres, that the guy who was driving us around was like, "I'm a non-religious Jew." And yeah. I was like, "What?
Yeah.
It doesn't even make sense."
Yeah. Well, Sage Rosenfels basically told us.
That's exactly right. But yeah. that's a significant part of the population. So a lot of people just associate it with the religion, but it's really a culture and it's a way of being. And in fact, when I went over a couple years ago to run the marathon, one of the things that Tracy said to me was, this is an amazing piece of the world, because no matter who you are, as long as you identify with Judaism and the Jewish culture, they'll welcome you, right? And it's the right of return. It's just amazing, like, part of our society that if you don't know about, you're missing out. Now, mm-hmm. it gets confused because of the factions of Judaism and like, the Hasidic Jews and, you know, the ultra-Orthodox and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But by and large, the community is amazing. And I've had a lot of interaction with them over my life, and I feel like I know, but I also am being judgmental because I feel like everybody should know, and the fact of the matter is a lot of people don't.
True, but just because you don't know doesn't give you a pass.
Agreed. Now, 100%.
You know, forget 100%. About Sean for a moment, and just in general. You know, being stupid or being ignorant is not a get-out-of-jail card mm-hmm. pertaining to everything. Certain things, just a lack of awareness, that you can attribute it to certain things. And, you know, if there's a visible penance that's being made or a pursuit of a penance to maybe put it better, yeah, we're not looking to ruin lives. I mean, that's not what this show is about. I mean, yeah. we're open-minded, we're fair-minded. I have a little bit of a different take, at least the way I view DeSean Jackson, you know, than you do. Listen, Burke does great work. I mean, and full disclosure, Burke is one of your best friends. Burke Communications, right? That's the official name of the company?
Exactly right.
He's great. I mean, the PR work that he does, he is phenomenal. He rehabilitated A-Rod when A-Rod was viewed as a slippery, slimy, you know, athletic miscreant that you couldn't trust, suing baseball, lying to Mike Francesa multiple times. A-Rod was in a black hole. Burke pulled him out, and you get to see A-Rod's a pretty good dude, even though he messed up a few times. Not like this. Other stuff. Just because you're associated with a great PR firm doesn't mean that your heart was initially in the right place. I can't buy that. Well, I don't give him a pass at all. I do like the proactive steps he's taking, so that's where I dial back my energy against him. And I say, okay, let's let this play out. You know, although Julian Edelman was phenomenal, how Julian stepped up and is, you know, brokered almost as a liaison, a relationship there, a lifeline of education, which is awesome. The thing that's a little disappointing to me, though, well, two things. First of all, to the Eagles, if they would have handled Riley Cooper different, they probably could have handled this different. That's number one. They messed up on that, and they probably messed up on this to an extent, in my opinion. Number two, there's not a lot of prominent Jewish athletes out there. Heck, there's not a lot of Jewish athletes, period. There's
a
couple.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, like, if I was Jewish, I would, and I know that there's different interpretations. Like, Samter, and I certainly don't want to speak for Mike on something like this at all. Mike was not incredibly offended. My good friend Adam Schein was absolutely beyond the moon offended and just blistered him on the, our friend, just blistered him on the radio, and rightfully so. So with a dearth of high-profile athletes that can speak up, unlike the Black Lives Matter movement, and white people obviously are behind that as well, but there was just an absence of voice to step up and fully denounce with passion and anger as to what Deshaun retweeted or IG'd, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I would ask you this. Well, at that point, where are all the prominent Hollywood types, right? Where are all the incredible directors and the wonderfully talented, you know, actors and composers and musicians and powerful lawyers and doctors that are of the Jewish faith?
Yeah.
Why didn't they step up? I'm sure some did, but I thought that deserved more criticism. Harsh criticism.
Yeah.
Harsh kickback.
Well, and I'll go back to my initial reaction when we talked about this last week, BT. First of all, I don't know if they care enough about sports to follow what DeSean Jackson is saying, right?
Okay.
Secondly,
I'm sure they were well aware of it based on social media, but I got you.
Of course they were aware of it, but then, like, the height of outrage is often determined by the status of who you're outraged against.
Great point.
Right?
And that's my point. Keep going.
And so,
good point.
And so I think that when you see something like this, and especially when you can say, not only is it ignorant, and that, I'm not using that as an insult. I'm just saying ignorant meaning not knowing. So not only is it ignorant, but it's also what you said, BT. It's stupid, right? It's ignorant and stupid, which is a really hard combination to match.
It's a rough
one. Right?
It's tough.
Right? And so when it's that, you just tend to dismiss it. It's like you're not talking from any place of knowledge or meaning. You're just spewing hate speech that doesn't make any sense. And so because he's not, you know, an A-lister athlete, right? He's a really great athlete, obviously. He's been playing forever, and he's fast as hell still at 30, whatever. He's 35 years old, right? But he's not like that A-lister that's going to garner the front page of every magazine or news cycle in the sports world on a regular basis. Whereas when Drew Brees did this, he is. He's a Hall of Famer. DeSean Jackson just isn't. And so it got – while it hit people's radar, it really quickly fell off.
Let me ask you this. I know we got a break. Would you – my answer is no, but I'm asking you. Would you consider Fuzzy Zeller to be an A-lister?
Not really.
No?
Not really.
Like a B-minus lister?
Yeah, but golf is different than – golf is very different because it's a white elitist sport. At least it was for a really, really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a white elitist member – doesn't matter your status – maligns an African-American, one of the few that anybody knows, you're going to get backlash, dude. I mean,
which is what happened for those who missed it years ago with Tiger Woods, with the menu
and by the way,
the Masters.
Yes, and by the way, they were friends.
Yeah, no, I know they were.
Like, Tiger and Fuzzy were friends. He was just making an off-color joke that he thought he could get away with because he's boys with Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
But the world doesn't know that, and the world doesn't care about your relationship with Tiger. They care about how you're offending everybody else.
Okay, all right, good conversation. Good stuff. Good job on that, Teak. Let's get the update from Ack, inbounds, out of bounds after that. Darryl Green, formerly of Washington, Hall of Famer, joins us coming up in the third hour. Bobby Valentine, a little baseball hour two. And then we'll get Ack's update right now. Inbounds, out of bounds, after Ack. Here's Rich. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney. Good Monday to everybody. Time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pretty basic stuff. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag Ask the Pros. Make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Tiki and I will answer the best one. So The more interesting it is, better chance we'll circle back to it, and we'll debate it, and we'll answer it, give you some props on the air as well. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. We've got Bobby V, a little baseball next hour. Also, the ACC is going to work with Notre Dame. If the Power Fives go all conference only, that was something Teague and I kicked around last week. Obviously, Notre Dame, a prominent team with no full affiliation with a conference. What will they do without any non-conference in terms of pursuit of a national championship? Maybe the ACC has given them their answer, given us the answer as well. And also two huge NBA stars not putting social justice messages on their jerseys. At least there could be more, but at least two we know of. Bad look or are we cool with it? We'll get to that. But Teague, I believe it's a little inbounds, out of bounds. You good to go?
Let's hit it.
All right, let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, so let's see what Santer and D-Cell cooked up on this Monday. First up, with a deadline for franchise tag players to sign long-term deals coming up on Wednesday. One under the radar name is Bengals wideout A.J. Green. A.J. Green, seven-time Pro Bowler. He's set to earn nearly $18 million. Ugh, that's a lot of money for a guy who's always hurt. On the franchise tag this year, and ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reported this week, and the long-term deal with Green is unlikely before the Wednesday deadline. So, in or out, the Bengals should give Green a long-term deal over $16 million a season if he has a big year with rookie quarterback Joe Burrow.
Over 15. I'm going to say inbounds, BT, but it better be short one because you don't know, viable he's going to stay. Now, again, last year there was speculation. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. There was speculation that A.J. Green actually could have played. He was somewhat healthy, but the reason that he was not playing was because he was holding out for a longer deal. Now, I don't know how true that is,
okay. But,
I mean, he was out for a really, really long time, and ultimately, when the season came to push and shove, he sat out the whole thing. I'm going to say inbounds of that, though, because if he's healthy, he's right, and I think the Bengals need a veteran to help Joe Burrow in his maturation process, and A.J. Green, we forget, with Andy Dalton, was one of the most prolific wide receiver quarterback combinations in football for a few years. So I'm going to say inbounds. And I think he's still young enough that he can get a couple, 3 years out of him.
I disagree on every conceivable level. Hard out of bounds for me. Yeah, I mean, just as a premise, sure, that would be great to have that, you know, that veteran presence help the young quarterback. But Patrick Mahomes didn't really have a veteran like A.J. Green. He had Earl Watkins around a couple of years. That's fine. You know, but he's not the player A.J. Green is. I mean, I don't think that I need to pay somebody $16, $17, $18 million to...
That's cheap, by the way.
Well, it's not cheap if you're not always healthy. And to your point about last year, even if that's the case, let's say he was fully healthy and it was more of a contractual angle, leverage kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
What was the deal back in 2016 when he missed six games? Or what was the deal back in 2014 when he missed three games? Like, he's been hurt a lot. This is not a one-off here. He's a terrific player, and they've got some weapons. I you and I have talked about one of the very sneaky, under-the-radar off seasons was the Bengals. We don't talk about it because they're not a sexy team at this point and all that, but I just think there's a much more effective way to disperse that money and help a young roster take that next jump. Listen, A.J. Green was a borderline transcendent talent.
Mm-hmm.
He really was. I mean, and a Hall of Fame arc, but, you know, he's in his 30s. He's had foot issues. Foot. That's a problem. I'm going to have to punt and pass on that. Out of bounds.
By the way, don't forget Travis Kelce was there when Pat Mahomes came in. You forget how old Travis Kelce is.
How old's Kelce?
32.
27, right?
No.
He's 27.
No.
Kelce?
Travis Kelce is 32 years old, dude.
What?
Yes, he's going to be 32 this season.
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive.
I mean, I should believe you on that, but are you sure?
I'm positive.
How the hell is he 32 years old?
He's 31, going to be 32 years old.
He's 30.
He's not 30.
I'm looking at it. He's 30. He's born October 5th. Who's feeding you this 31. Erroneous nonsense?
31. He's going to be 31 years old in the middle of the season.
Okay, but he's 30 now. You told me that he's 31.
30, okay, so when Pat Mahomes came into the league, he was 5 years into the league. He was
right.
6 years into the league.
But he was in his 20s.
And he was a stud.
He's in his 30s now.
And he was a stud. His first year, he was 29 years old when Pat Mahomes started. He's 29.
Well, no, because Mahomes has started for two, so he was 28. He was 28. It doesn't really matter. What are we even debating here? It's nickel and diamond.
I'm looking at Pro Football Reference 2017 when Pat Mahomes played one game. Travis Kelce was 28 years old.
All right. Are you in? Or are
you need a veteran. You need somebody who's reliable.
Who is the veteran for? We could play this game all day. I'll get back to this. I want to make sure we get some of these in here. So, Russell Westbrook. All right, 3 years removed from the MVP. And 1 year from a third consecutive triple-double season. However, Westbrook's numbers have gone down. First year in Houston, they've dropped a little bit, averaging just 8 rebounds and 7 assists. Now, over the weekend, Bleacher Report ranked the top 100 players for the season, putting Westbrook 23rd overall,
wow.
To which the 31-year-old responded with a long... That was a H-A and a lot of them. In or out, Russell Westbrook is still a top 15 player in the NBA. What you got?
I'm going to say inbounds to that, BT. I like Russell Westbrook. I like his game in an offense like the Houston Rockets have been playing. Not that I think it's going to be championship viable, but it is fun as hell, and it suits his skill set perfectly because they all play around the perimeter, which creates massive lanes for him to run and score. And because everybody else can shoot three-pointers, he doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
He takes these horrible three-pointers when he thinks he has to be the man. And the Houston Rockets have an offensive system that fits him, I think, perfectly. So I'm going to say inbounds of that.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I just don't quite view him that way. I understand what you're saying about the doesn't really need to shoot threes, but you are a guard. So on some level, you do kind of need to shoot some threes. And when you've had three straight seasons, as he had, sub 30% from downtown, I mean, I don't need you to be 37, 38, but you don't have to be Bradley Beal or Devin Booker, maybe, but you got to at least be functional. He is way below league average for that position from a very important aspect of the game. He's not a kid anymore, but he still has elite burst. I'm not saying he's decaying athletically, but he's 31. He's 31.
Yeah.
I wrote down some names before. No order, obviously. LeBron, Kawhi, AD, Lillard, Tatum, Doncic, Giannis, Curry, KD, Harden.
Lillard? You're putting Lillard over him?
Yes.
Lillard's number one in MVP, man.
I don't care. Damian Lillard today is better than Russell Westbrook today.
Okay.
Jokic, Embiid, Beal. I mean, these are old names. Listen, obviously,
I know, but you're putting some non-MVP. You're putting some non-MVPs up there, BT. That's all
dude,
I'm saying.
When did he win the MVP?
He won Russell Westbrook.
Yeah,
he won the MVP.
No, I'm saying when did he win it?
Three years ago.
How about three years ago?
Because Harden won in between. Yeah.
The next time we negotiate, which will be probably pretty soon, by the way, our CBS contract. What you and I should do, tell us how far this would get our contracts. Let's pull the show from 3 years, our best show from 3 years ago. 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is what we used to do. You know, we're kind of mailing it in. Not that he's mailing it in, Russell, but you get the point. 3 years ago means nothing, especially in an athletic-based sport. I mean, in terms of all-time ranking, it matters. Right now, it means nothing.
Yeah.
And Damian Lillard is absolutely better than Russell Westbrook. Absolutely.
Yeah. Most important thing is we hope he's healthy after this COVID-19 test.
That's true. That is true.
Are you in or are you out?
At some point, I'll actually pull up. I have the list, but I want to get to another one here. We'll look at the players they actually have in front of him. We can get to the next segment. We're doing some basketball. We'll pull it up. All right, the Blue Jays, bit of a pickle this year pertaining to their parks. Facing challenges of playing in Canada during the pandemic after it was revealed the team would basically be quarantined from the stadium and the adjoining hotel if games are played in Toronto. Travis Shaw lashed out. He tweeted, "All summer isn't going to happen. Not an option," end quote. Later apologized, and I read over the weekend the Blue Jays are threatening fining their players $750,000. Good luck with that with the Players Union.
Wow.
That's never going to happen.
Wow.
$750,000. That's crazy. So Shaw apologized, and the team has reportedly reached out to, I wonder who said that this could be an option 2 weeks ago on the show. Your partner did, me, their AAA affiliate in Buffalo, about playing in upstate New York. So, in or out, it would be better for the Blue Jays to play in a AAA ballpark rather than their home stadium in Toronto.
I'm going to say inbounds, BT. If they're having problems, or at least they're forecasting problems getting games in, because we know that the MLB is very different than basketball. They're not isolating like like basketball is, then I'm going to say inbounds to that, because fans aren't going to be there anyways.
Yep.
And so, and if there are, there's going to be a limited number. Mm-hmm. People travel over the border, even though that might be even harder, you know, given how the regulations are right now. But either way, fans aren't going to be there. You might as well play in a manageable ballpark. So I'm going to say inbounds.
I would agree with you on this one. I say inbounds as well. It's not about amenities at this point, and I know they pumped in some money. Granted, it's been a little while now because they were pursuing one of the expansion teams, was the Rockies, one of them, obviously. But so they were preparing for an infusion of a major league team to Buffalo. So they are, at least the infrastructure is somewhat prepared. It's more than adequate. There's no fans, so that's, you know, parking, that's immaterial. It's not like it's a small stadium and, mm-hmm. you know, you play in front of 45,000 in the Bronx and you play in front of 18,000 or 20, whatever it might be up in Buffalo. That doesn't matter at all. I agree. I think it's just a smart play. And there's no minor league baseball, so you don't have to worry about the affiliate getting in the way. Inbounds. Easy call for me.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Right. You still hung up on that Kelce age. You do realize that he's 30, though. He's not 31. He's not going to be 32. He's 30.
He'll be 31 during this football season. And either way, it doesn't matter if he's 29 or 31. The point is, when Pat Mahomes first started starting two seasons ago, he was not a second-year player in the NFL. Yeah, he was a 6 or 7 year vet in the league and had played with Alex Smith and had some success. Hell, they did. I mean, they won 11 games. How many times with Alex Smith?
Phenomenal.
At least three, maybe four.
Alex won it at least three times, double figure games.
Yeah. I mean, Alex was solid, man.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. How about this? I put this poll question up, something Tiki said in the first segment. Very simple. This is on my page at Brandon Tierney. At what age does "because daddy said so" lose effectiveness with one's children? Tiki says 8. All right. 4 to 6, 28% right now. 7 to 10, 35%. 11 to 14, 23.5%. Beyond 13.5.
Yeah,
interesting wide range of answers.
What do we got so far? Different. We'll get it. I gotta look at this.
I'll get back to it. We're gonna do some basketball coming up. LeBron not putting any of the messaging on his jersey, taking some heat for it. We'll get to that. Hour two coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.